You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 64. And here's what we have today. First up, we're going to look at what happened for Barbara. Now, you may remember Barbara was our guest on podcast episode 48, which is 14 weeks ago now. But I have some very interesting information on what's happened to Barbara since she had a dream interpretation and alchemy done on the show. And then after that, we're going to one of our listeners, Campbell, who's written an interesting question. I'll read out the question now so that you'll know that I'll be answering it later in the show. And Campbell says, "My question is that I take my dreaming seriously in a proactive sense, asking for guidance, inspiration, and answers. I wake with a clear decision, plan of action, or answer, and follow the guidance. But sometimes it just doesn't work out, or it was a really bad idea. So my question is, what's wrong, and how do I tell the difference?" So, Campbell, I'll be answering your question in some amount of detail after we've looked at Barbara's update. And then following that, we'll be looking at change. What effect the kind of changes that happen to you when you start to look at your dreams can have in your life and how to deal with those. And probably some more stuff too, depending on how we go. So first of all, Barbara. Now, this update is, as I said, is from Barbara, who was our guest on podcast episode 48. So that is 14 weeks ago. And you may remember that Barbara is a painter. And in the past, she had devoted herself full time to her art. But 5 years ago, she had taken a job to bring in a secure income. She'd chosen a relatively stress-free job so that she would be free in her spare time to pursue her passion, her painting. But the truth was, she hadn't really done much painting in those 5 years. Now, when she came onto the show as a guest, Barbara had just put her home up for sale with the intention of buying a bigger home with space to paint. She thought it was space that had been limiting her painting, you see. Now, these facts emerged during Barbara's dream interpretation, but then as we explored her dream, we identified what was really stopping her from painting. Barbara had an unconscious belief that to be a painter meant to be poor and, worse, to feel unsupported. This had been her experience when she was painting full time. And feeling unsupported emotionally had been the toughest part for her. And you can hear how this unconscious belief was discovered when you listen back to the original podcast. So that's podcast 48. So no matter how rationally Barbara was approaching her dilemma, getting a stress-free job to cover income and selling her small home so that she could buy something bigger with more space for painting, her unconscious mind was powerfully in control, protecting her from painting to save her from being poor and feeling unsupported. Once Barbara could see this and much more in her dream, she could relate to it. She wanted to get back to painting again, but she wanted to be rich, well, you know, not poor, and to feel supported and nourished emotionally. So what we did was we created a dream alchemy practice for Barbara to do to reprogram that unconscious belief that was stopping her from really getting into her painting. Now, the universe and alchemy works in unexpected ways to produce the desired results. And this week, 14 weeks after the podcast, Barbara sent me an email and she said, "I'm now painting heaps. My earlier attempt to sell my place as a solution failed miserably, so the universe definitely did not want me to follow that path. Staying where I am means I don't need to worry too much about money or work, whereas getting another mortgage would have meant a heavier financial burden. I'm in a position now where I may even be able to work part-time, which I've always wished for, and have more time to paint. I ended up getting rid of some of my furniture and moving stuff around my very small flat and have made a permanent spot to paint, and that has worked very well for me. If you remember, in my dream, I was moving furniture, so that was the solution all along." So that was the first part of Barbara's email to me. Now, Barbara's first result is that she's now painting heaps without being poor. And to an outsider, this is the result of a house not selling. But we know differently, don't we? Doing the alchemy created an inner change that reflected in an outer change. Also, if she had simply not been able to sell her house, but had not had a dream interpreted or done the alchemy, she would have still felt stuck in her small home, unable to paint due to lack of space. After all, that was why she'd set out to sell her house in the first place, to get more space to paint. The alchemy changed Barbara's view of her home, and she saw the painting space that had been there all along. So that covers the painting without being poor aspect of Barbara's results. How was the painting while feeling emotionally supported aspect manifested? You may remember in episode 48 that Barbara was trying to move away from her mother in her dream. And we discussed this and identified that Barbara needed to move away from a belief or attitude portrayed by her mother. You know, Barbara's inner mother voice learned from her mum. So Barbara continued in her email update this week and she said, "Also in the dream, you may remember that I was moving as far away from my mother as possible, and the whole real estate scenario really highlighted strongly our different values. She was very keen for me to find a nice renovated place, whereas I simply wanted the space to paint and to be closer to the city and work, so as to make my life more convenient. Now she is advising but not telling me what to do, you know, that I should renovate the kitchen, etc., in my current unit, which was never the original intent. So as much as I love her, we are completely different in the way we approach life. When the whole real estate thing was going pear-shaped, my attitude was, it's just not meant to be. Whereas her attitude was, don't give up, things are never easy, you have to persist, life is hard, rah, rah, rah. Whereas my attitude is, if doors don't open, you're on the wrong path. I don't think either of us are necessarily right or wrong, just very different." And Barbara stopped her email there. Now, maybe Barbara always knew that her attitudes were different from her mother's, but until she had the dream interpreted and did the alchemy, she was still unconsciously influenced by her mother's attitudes. Whereas after the alchemy, Barbara gave herself the emotional support she needed and made good, nurturing decisions for herself. And that is why she is now painting heaps, enjoying her space, feeling financially and emotionally supported, and even considering going part-time at work. So congratulations, Barbara, if you're listening. And to everybody else, of course, go back and listen to the original episode 48, in which Barbara and I discuss her dream, and then come back and listen to this, and it'll really put it all nicely in context for you. Do your alchemy, and the universe works in amazing ways to deliver the results, sometimes a little bit different to what you would expected, you know, the way that it works, but you get the results nonetheless. And so now to Campbell. I'm just going to repeat the question again, because it was a great question. So Campbell said, "My question is that I take my dreaming seriously in a proactive sense, asking for guidance, inspiration, and answers. I wake with a clear decision, plan of action, or answer, and follow the guidance. But sometimes it just doesn't work out, or it was a really bad idea. So my question is, what's wrong, and how do I tell the difference?" Now, I'm going to answer your question, Campbell, by first of all reading out a couple of tips from my book, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, that actually go most of the way to answering your question. So I'll start there, and then when I finish that, I'll come back and just hammer it home, so to speak. So you've asked a question about guidance, and you've asked two questions, really, Campbell. You know, one is taking a question to bed that you want to solve in your dream, you know, asking for a particular solution to a problem to be given in your dream. And the second one is really, so when I take guidance for my dream, how come sometimes it works well and sometimes it really doesn't work well, and how do I know the difference? So that's why I'm reading two tips to cover these two things. And the first tip is going to be tip 93, which I've called How to Seek an Answer from Your Dream. So this is kind of like the method This is probably what Campbell's already doing, but this is for everyone else listening in that would like to have a kind of recipe for going to bed and saying, I would really like to have a solution to this particular problem, and I want a dream about it tonight, and just give me the guidance, please. Here I am. So here we go. Tip 93, how to seek an answer from your dreams. Since dreams are so good at processing your experiences, revealing your hidden beliefs and feelings, and coming up with creative solutions to problems, can you program a dream to investigate a problem or question and come up with a possible solution? Yes, you can. It's a process known as dream incubation, and it works like this. Your dreams process your experiences of the last 2 days, but special emphasis is put on any problem you have been focusing on during the day that is also on your mind as you fall asleep. So there's a simple formula, and this is what to do. Write down the problem you would like to solve in your dreams, framing it as a question. Make your question as precise as you can. For example, what next step do I need to take to attract a publisher to publish my book? Or, how can I make my monthly bookkeeping easier? Or, how can I promote my business on a budget of X dollars a week? Or, what do I need to change within myself to attract my perfect partner? And don't even think of not writing your question down. In fact, that's so important, I'm going to say it twice, even though I've only written it once in the book. Don't even think of not writing your question down. You may think you know exactly what you're asking your dream to solve, but it will be too loose for your dream to address precisely until you formulate it in writing. Also, when you wake in the morning, you need to be able to compare the symbols in your dream to your exact question. So write your question down early in the day, and read it at least once every half hour. Then plan a quiet, relaxed evening with very little stimulation. Remember, you don't want your dreaming mind to pick up on any other topic from your evening to explore. So maybe listen to peaceful music, have a long bath, do some mundane but relaxing household chores. Make sure going to bed is a quiet, peaceful process. Keep the lights in your bedroom low. You might like to have a special pillow or incense you use only for dream incubation nights. Your only permitted reading material is your dream incubation question that you must read 20 times before closing your eyes. Then keep repeating the question in your mind as you drift off to sleep on it. Now, you may wake up with an answer that feels right before even interpreting your dreams. If so, write it down. Then, before acting on it, examine your dreams. Don't expect a literal answer, of course. Always remember dreams are symbolic, even when responding to dream incubation questions. So use all the tips that you've accumulated through listening to these podcasts, reading my books, etc., to analyze your dreams, and then you'll find within those, within that symbolism, some clues and answers to the question that you took to bed with you. So that's how it's done. And do remember, of course, that dreams do address the last 24 to 48 hours. So even though you go through that precise process, don't be surprised if your dream question doesn't get answered till the second night. So, you know, be a little bit patient. Now, I did say in that tip that, you know, you might wake up with an answer already on your mind. And of course, you know, before interpreting your dream, and that's where we get the common expression from, you know, I'm not going to let you know now, I'll sleep on it and I'll have an answer in the morning. And that happens often, you know, doesn't it? Even with a simple thing like, where did I put that book? And when you wake up in the morning, oh, I know where I put it. It's, you know, we can do that. We can sleep on a problem and wake with an answer as if our brain really just needed to refresh itself and dig up what we were looking for. And you know, sleep and dreams do definitely do that for us, solve problems that we just need to have a rest and literally sleep on and dream on. But by the same token, sometimes we can wake up with what feels like a solution or even analyze our dreams and think, oh, yeah, I can see from that dream that what I need to do is this, this, this. And then you do that thing or take action on that waking thought and it doesn't really work out well. And that was really Campbell's question. So that's why I'm reading the second tip, again, from my book, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips. And this is tip number 89, the mirror and the compass. Are you looking for guidance from your dreams? Clear direction? A message to follow? People often think of dreams as being messages from a higher source, delivering an action plan for success. It's true that you can find guidance and life direction by interpreting a dream. You can even come up with a brilliant action plan for success, follow it, and achieve that success. But you knew there was a but coming, didn't you? Here it is. It's more accurate to say that your dreams tell you everything you need to know about who you are today, how you see the world today, and why this is so. Your dreams often look back and remind you of your past experiences and relate them to what is happening for you today, because your past has shaped who you are today and how you see your world today. Your past and today also shapes who you will be tomorrow and how you will see the world tomorrow if you let it. Think more of a dream as being a snapshot of you taken today. Of course, you need to be able to interpret your dream first to understand that snapshot, to see the big picture of you and your life as it is today. And when you know how to do this, you really begin to understand yourself deeply and clearly, and this puts you in a position of great power. Your dreams, once interpreted, give you a deeper view of yourself than you can get from any other method of self-understanding. Dreams show you your unconscious beliefs, feelings, attitudes, and ways of seeing the world, and these will surprise you at first. And then you will clearly see how they relate to your life. They explain why your life is the way it is today. And when you understand yourself as you are today, you have the power to change, to create a new you and a new way of seeing the world for tomorrow. Instead of repeating the same old cycles, going round in circles through the same old experiences, you can break free and move forward to the life you really want. That's the power and the magic of dream interpretation. So don't look for direct guidance from your dreams. Instead, look into the mirror of your dreams to understand your position today so clearly that you can make changes and set your compass to move towards the future you choose. So, Campbell, in your case, what I feel you may sometimes be doing is either waking up with a gut feel solution to your problem or waking up and interpreting your dream from maybe a certain angle that's maybe more, we all sometimes want to interpret our dreams in our favor. And I see it time and time again. We want to interpret our dreams to say, yes, you're doing the right thing. Why don't you do this? We don't always want to interpret our dreams and say, oh, I didn't know that about myself. That makes me feel uncomfortable. Or I didn't know that about myself. You mean I've got to change something? I don't want to change. I want to stay in comfort zone. So we all tend to interpret our dreams favorably. And you may sometimes be doing that, Campbell. But basically, the key is if you want guidance or inspiration or answer from a dream, you need to first of all interpret the dream to understand why your life is the way it is today, and then find the clue in there that is explaining why your life is not the way you wanted in one certain aspect, the way that kind of explains why there is a problem or an issue or a conflict. And then say to yourself, not to the dream, am I happy with this or do I want to change it? And if you want to change the future, well, let's say change the new present, then it's a matter of doing the alchemy to change the unconscious beliefs within yourself, which are not producing the results that you really desire. So really, Campbell, what I'm saying is my feeling is that when you have decided that a dream is offering you certain guidance, you may be misreading your dream. You may be looking for a favorable analysis of your dream rather than really going the extra mile and really looking for an unconscious belief that has been limiting you in a way which has resulted in you feeling that there's a problem that needs to be solved. And finally, you say, what's wrong and how do I tell the difference? Probably the quickest way to find the difference is if there's a problem in your life or something you would like to solve, and you wake up in the morning and the solution makes you feel just a little bit uncomfortable or makes you think, I'm going to have to do things a bit differently, or I'm going to have to just very slightly uncomfortable, that may be the right decision, because what it's suggesting is that you've noticed something which is going to require you to move out of comfort zone, and it's being in comfort zone that has produced the problem, and it's moving out of comfort zone that often will be the solution to the problem. So that's kind of really, not that all solutions should be uncomfortable, but just there should be a little bit of kind of like a squirm in the chair and going, oh, okay, have I really got to do that? And then remembering, Campbell, and everyone else listening in, that as you've heard so many true life stories on this show and many other places, that once you do the alchemy, everything is always so much simpler and so much smoother than you believe. You know, the discomfort that you think you're going to face in moving out of comfort zone is actually, you know, comes down to hardly anything at all once you do the alchemy, and it happens. It's just like magic. You know, you often look back and say, I wish I knew it was that simple. I mean, look at Barbara's update just now. She basically just did the alchemy and everything changed around her. And that was beautiful. So Campbell, I hope that answers your question. Now, what I did as a result of that was I thought, you know, we do often feel quite uncomfortable when we have to make little changes, or even changes that we're looking forward to happening can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. So I went back through my archives and found an article I wrote about 10 years ago on change. And I'm just going to delve down into all the little bits of paper that I've just thrown on the floor and find it. Oh, thank you, Michael. Michael's just passed it to me. This was originally a DreamSite article that I first wrote in July 2000, so that's 10 years ago. And I wrote this during a period of change in my life. And I actually wrote it before I found the name Dream Alchemy to describe the approach I was evolving then. So I don't actually use the word Dream Alchemy in this article, but you're familiar with it now enough to recognize it when you see it. So here it is, and there I am 10 years ago doing the magic that created the firm foundation on which the last 10 years have been built for me. I hope you enjoy this. It's called On Solid Ground. In the early hours of a still dark morning back in 1983, my stomach churned as our bed lurched across the polished floor and the long bedroom curtain swished through the still air and swiped my face. The windows were closed. My husband slept soundly. My tiny children cradled on. Familia was sleeping in rocking arms, strapped onto my back or being carried in midnight sleep from late-night parties back to their beds without stirring. Perched in the penthouse of an apartment block high in the South American Andes, I realized why all our new friends lived in houses. This was my first experience of an earthquake, and with a year ahead of us in Quito, Ecuador, it would not be my last. When we weren't being shaken from side to side, we were flipped from the ground by vertical quakes, leaving a stepping air for heart-lurching moments. I was reminded of this recently, 10 years ago, when I dreamed I was back in Quito, standing in a star-shaped dream house, drawing a feeling of great strength from the ground beneath my feet, that very same ground that had rumbled and growled all those years ago. How things change. In dreams, the ground, or the earth, often represents the basis of our conscious understanding of the world. It stands under us. It gives us our understanding. I have dreamed many earthquakes and earth tremors since my year in Ecuador, each dream shake-up symbolizing change in my understanding of life. Out with the old basis and onto new territory. Change begins in the depths of the unconscious, just as earthquakes begin in the deeper layers of the earth, moving unseen and dark, way below the known surface. Subtle changes in our unconscious percolate through to affect the world we see and the way we see it. Our dreams often pick up on the deep inner upheavals, the rearranging of our unconscious strata of thoughts, memories, and conditionings, and present the deep movement as dream earthquakes, tremors, earth changes, or earthworks. In this way, our earthquake dreams are like seismic detectors, giving us advance warning of coming change. They are personally precognitive rather than being premonitions of physical earth changes or world disasters. So why did the ground beneath my feet in my recent dream, 10 years ago, of standing in the star-shaped house feel so solid? Why did I feel I was drawing on great strength? Quito was not only a place of earthquake and tremor for me. It was a time of adaptation, of opening myself to new skills and new possibilities. In its quaky shakiness, it created new foundation stones for my future, a future based on trusting intuition and embracing change as a positive force directing the unfolding of my life. My recent dream mirrored back to me the difference between my initial fear of change in those early Quito days and the strength I can now draw from the ground I have built beneath my feet since then. One of the advantages of a dream rich in sensation is that you can invoke the memory of the dream feeling when needed. I have summoned up that intense sensation of drawing strength from the ground on several occasions since the dream and felt it positively influence the situations and their outcomes. You can use positive emotions from dreams in this way by picturing yourself in the dream scene and letting the same feeling fill you to overflowing as you negotiate life's situations relevant to the dream. Pay attention to the various grounds you walk upon in your dreams to learn what they reflect about your present understanding of life. Traversing rocky ground may suggest that life seems rocky to you, or, on the contrary, walking on rock in a dream may reflect solidity or a firm belief in old ways, since rocks themselves are ancient formations. Slippery ground may reveal feelings of insecurity about life. What will happen if you slip up? Muddy earth may reflect a muddied, unclear basis to your understanding. Gravel may symbolize a connection with a temporary, as gravel paths are often later made more solid. Or gravelly ground may suggest an irritating basis to life, since gravel gets under your skin when you fall or can make it difficult for you to get a firm grip of the second page under certain conditions. Your dream ground may be a high rung on a tottering ladder with a small centre of gravity, indicating perhaps instability or lack of a firm basis. If you find yourself walking on water, well, water symbolises our emotions as well as our unconscious, and don't we just need the reminder from time to time that we can all perform miracles if we're in touch with our unconscious mind? I haven't walked on water, but I have walked on air in my waking life. Well, almost. After the year of living at altitude in the Andes, my body changed in the way that all bodies do to adapt to the lesser amounts of oxygen in the high atmosphere. The hemoglobin levels in my blood increased, and so did my lung capacity. Together, these physical adaptations to the thin air worked to deliver more oxygen to my body than in my pre-keto days. Gone were the tingling lips, numb fingertips, and dizziness of my first 6 weeks living up near the snow-capped volcanoes on the equator. When we left Ecuador en route to Australia, we touched down in San Francisco for a week. Touched was the right word. Pumped up on oxygen, I felt as if I was airwalking, bouncing back from each step and bounding forward without effort. It was like walking on the moon, I imagined. And when I laughed at the lack of ground beneath my feet, I hyperventilated and spun out on oxygen overload. I was high from living on high and was finding the old familiar world disorientating and unreal in its new strangeness. Our dreams help us to resolve our unconscious conflicts as they shuffle the unconscious layers of thoughts, memories, and conditioning to create changed perceptions of once familiar worlds. The strengths we can draw from our many awakenings are well worth the occasional queasy quakes that create the firmer ground of new understanding. So there you are, written 10 years ago and always applicable as they always are. And I was just thinking there as I was reading that out about that description that I've got there of, you know, how spinning out really on the oxygen, and how when things change, you kind of get that spinny feeling. And I was just talking to a client this morning during a phone consultation who was describing that. She's been a long-term regular client, has a consultation every week. And she was saying that, you know, some of the recent changes she has gone through with her alchemy actually resulted for a couple of days in feeling like, not feeling nauseous or anything like that, but just sort of feeling spinny, like, you know, I can't really feel the ground beneath my feet, things feel a bit weird, everything looks different. And I was assuring her, as I've assured many clients and people in the past, that this is actually a positive sign. It takes a while for us to adapt when everything around us seems to change, and it only seems to change because we've actually changed within ourselves. It takes a new way of living and responding in that world, and it does feel a bit shaky and weird to begin with, but usually within a couple of days it settles down and, hey, you basically find yourself living in a new world. You carry forward all the good things and you leave the bad things behind and have more good things in your life. So it's always worth just pressing that little comfort zone, even if it's just a little bit, and putting your toe in the water and doing things slightly differently. Well supported all the time, of course, by understanding your dreams and applying good dream alchemy. And I might just make one tiny little announcement here, because all this talk about change and dream alchemy, we have made a decision this week, which I've just put into operation a couple of days ago, whereby when you have a phone consultation or an email consultation with me about a dream, you know, those of you that have had it know that you also get a dream alchemy practice, whether that's by email or whether that's by phone or Skype. And we've now responded to all the requests for this to happen, and I'm now recording your dream alchemy practices in a little MP3 and popping it in an email to you after your reading. So that's a nice new thing, a bit of a change. I had to get my technical head around that, but it was really easy. So now that's what you'll get. Like, you know, if you have a phone or Skype consultation, 5 or 10 minutes later, there'll be a little MP3 in your inbox, and you can download it or you can burn it to a CD, and it's going to do half of the hard work for you. So all you have to do is keep on listening to it, you know, so that you follow your visualization. You'll have my voice taking you through it so that you can notch up your alchemy. And if you have your consultation by email, the same will happen. Your MP3 will arrive with your Word doc. We do have more and more people tending to choose the phone and Skype consultations than email. So if you're an email consultation person and you haven't tried phone or Skype yet, I do recommend people are voting with their feet and going that way. So you might like to give that a go too. Thank you for listening to another episode. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and have the kind of wonderful rewards that Barbara has had today and all the other guests that you've listened to, put your hand up. Actually, don't put your hand up, send me an email. I kind of get the message that way, and we can arrange to have you on the show to have your dream interpreted. And also, of course, if you do that, what you do is offer a major, major contribution to all our listeners in helping them to understand the dream interpretation and alchemy process. Otherwise, visit my website at www.dream.net.au for lots of information, and or to find out how you can contact me for a consultation, or go to my blog at janetereza.com, or come in and say hello at Facebook. Have a lovely week. I'll see you next week for episode 65. And I know that that week will come round very, very quickly because, gee, the weeks fly fast. Enjoy your week. See you next Friday. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.